Well, let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 27, the book of Proverbs and the 27th chapter. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His holy Word. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The fool's soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on, and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to that public reading of his holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Seeking the Lord's gracious help again, and noticing there in the verse 17, the book of Proverbs, and that chapter that I read in your hearing, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, if you notice in this chapter, it's no coincidence that this verse is placed in this chapter where it is. Notice it is placed between the woman who is contentious, and she is no help to herself, and she is no help to others. She is a contentious woman, a difficult woman. And then it is placed between somebody who is an industrious person, there in the verse 18. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Here in this 17th verse of this chapter of Proverbs, we have the imagery of iron sharpening iron. Of course, the proverb is not speaking so much about iron, but it is speaking about a man. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And it's very plain, therefore, for us to see that God is not here speaking so much about iron being sharpened, but he is speaking about the need for his people to be sharpened. And here, of course, this is not ordinary people, but God's people in view. There's a contrast and there's a comparison being made here, or should I say there's a comparison. Just as iron sharpeneth iron, and we note here it's not a stone sharpening iron, but it is iron sharpening iron. And so in the same way, as we look at this verse, the 17th verse, a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, let me first of all say that we cannot do anybody any lasting good, of course, unless we know the friend of sinners. It speaks here in this verse of a man having a friend and sharpening. The idea is the person has become blunt. The person has become dull, blunted. But, of course, unless we know the friend of friends, unless, of course, we know God, we can do men no good. Not in the real sense of the word good. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only good one. If you just turn there for a moment to Proverbs chapter 18, you'll notice there in Proverbs chapter 18 and the verse 24, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So here in Proverbs chapter 27, as we come to the 17th verse, I want this evening to expound this verse to us, open it up, and I want to preach about three things that are mentioned in this particular verse. The verse 17, again, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. First of all, we want to think about iron. And it's interesting how the Lord here, he uses the figure of iron to describe God's people. This is a fitting analogy, and we see from Scripture that God's people are to be strong as iron. We are not as reeds, as it were. The people of this world can be very fickle, but God's people are to be a people of substance. They are to be a people of strength. They are to be people of conviction. They are to be people who have those principal values of God's word. They are to be as iron. And we'll see that from Jeremiah. And then we'll think, secondly, he speaks here of a friend. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And the real friends, I would say to you, that we ought to have are Christian friends. Yes, indeed. These are the best of friends. But of course, the best friend that we can have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then, thirdly, we'll want to think about the contrast of being blunt and being sharp. The contrast about being blunt, the difference, and being sharp. So a very simple verse. I'm sure that many of you have read it before or perhaps even heard a sermon on it, but this has been quite heavily impressed upon my heart over the last few days. I'm mindful that this is a particularly difficult time, and I think that this is a verse for us to consider at this time. We are, at this present time, not going through a series of books as we ordinarily do, but we're under unusual circumstances, and I've been seeking the Lord's help as to seek verses that would be helpful to us at this particular time, unprecedented time. So firstly, let's think upon this figure of iron here this evening. Proverbs 27 and the verse 17. Notice again, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The young prophet Jeremiah was told by the Lord that he would be as iron. If you just turn for a moment there to Jeremiah chapter 1 and the verse 18, and if you know anything about the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah, he ministered during a very difficult time of Judah's history, where the people would be warned for many, many years about the impending judgment and chastening of the Lord coming upon the nation if they will not repent of their sins. And they didn't, by and large. And the nation went into captivity, into Babylon. And certainly Jeremiah saw both sides of that. He ministered to the people, then he saw the people being taken away into Babylon. And then we have the book of the Lamentations, where he laments after the destruction of Jerusalem and the people are taken away. But Jeremiah was called as a young prophet from Anathoth, and called to minister to the people during his time. And he had to be as iron. He had to be strong. And you and I are living in days where we need to be strong. The Apostle Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord. And we are to quit ye like men. We are to be strong. We are not to give up. We are to strengthen each other, particularly at this time. And I think there's no greater need at this time than to strengthen the brethren. But I just want to show you from Jeremiah chapter 1 and the verse 18 how the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, and he says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land." Many people would oppose Jeremiah. He would have a very difficult ministry. We read later on in the chapter 9 and also in the chapter 6 how even his own kinsmen, even the people of Anathoth, even the priests withstood him, and some were calling for his life. We saw that a few weeks ago, how the Lord came to him and strengthened him. It seemed like a very strange strengthening. Remember how the Lord said, "If thou hast run against men, how wilt thou contend against the horses?" Jeremiah was going to face greater things. And the Lord came and the Lord strengthened him. But already as a young prophet, the Lord said, "I have made thee as an iron pillar." And so it is a fitting analogy for the Lord to address his people as iron. Of course, we're not to be iron-hearted, but we are to be strongly principled as God's people. We are to be people of principle and people of conviction. And so here, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now iron, if you just stay there for a moment in the book of Jeremiah, iron in those days when it was ored, when it was manufactured, when it was put together, was very coarsely manufactured. But the best iron was in the north, in Israel. So if you turn to Jeremiah 15 and the verse 10, later when Jeremiah was cast down and oppressed, the Lord came to him with a word of encouragement. And first of all, you see in the verse 10 how Jeremiah is very downcast. And he says, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury." Now notice this, "Yet every one of them doth curse me." Now I want you to notice the Lord's response to Jeremiah. The Lord said, "Verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction." And then the Lord asks this question, "Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel?" You see the question? The northern iron was the best iron. Charles Haddon Spurgeon has a lovely sermon on this. I would encourage you to read it. It's entitled "The Northern Iron." And this is how God's people are. They are to be the finest. They are to be the hardest iron. Remember as we read in chapter 1, verse 18, how Jeremiah was to be as iron, and we are to be as iron. But sometimes we can lose our edge. We are to be as a sword, just as the Word of God is described as the sword. And we are to never lose our edge as Christians. We are to be strong in the Lord. We are to be people of conviction. Now, by nature, it's fair to say men are fickle. Men are pliable. And we still have that tendency within us, don't we? To be weak and to be as reeds. And, you know, we can be blown about by every wind of change and circumstance. Can have a great effect upon us even now. And we may be greatly influenced by others who would even be Christians, but they can influence us for wrong and not for good. We have to be very careful in whom we have close fellowship with and who we receive godly counsel from. We're certainly never to take counsel from this world, are we? We're to go to God, and we're to go to his people who walk closely with him. It's interesting, as I said, where this verse 17 is placed between the contentious woman and the man in the verse 18 who is prosperous and who tends to the Lord's things. And so in the same way, if we're thinking aright, iron sharpeneth iron, in terms of our Christian friends, iron sharpeneth iron. The figure here perhaps is of a scythe, a man cutting through the fields. And if that is blunt, it'll be hard work, won't it? Or an axe. Maybe that's the figure. It's become dull. It's become blunt. And it'll be hard work. And it is hard work if we have become spiritually dull. And perhaps we are becoming spiritually dull. But here the figure of this iron is the friend who's used to restore another and to help them who has become blunt. So the comparison is made. Iron sharpeneth iron. So that the person is now useful. I remember as a young boy, my father always wanted to play with an axe or cut wood with an axe. So he gave me a blunted axe. I was quite young. And of course, I would often go shooting with him. But he gave me the blunt axe, but it did make hard work for cutting things. But of course, he was concerned for me. And the sense here is, if the object has lost its edge, and we can often say, he or she, what's happened to them? They've lost their edge. And life becomes difficult. And their life can become unprofitable. So, iron. It's a very fitting analogy. Now, the second analogy, or figure, or subject that we think about here, is the word friendship. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The scriptures speak a lot about friendships. It's a great theme of the Bible, isn't it? If you just turn to Proverbs chapter 18 there in the verse 24, notice what the scriptures have to say. I think we even read, we saw a number of things even in this passage about friendships. You notice, first of all, in the verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and so on. But going to Proverbs 18 and the verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If we are going to have friends, we've got to be of that disposition where we make friends. We've got to be friendly. And of course, the other part of the verse there speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, when all friends will perhaps even forsake us at times, but there is one that will never forsake us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, when we think about this subject here of friendship, The Bible teaches that we must seek good friends. We must seek the best friends, the best friendships. Those ought to be sought and those ought to be maintained. It's important to have good friendships. Now, some people want to be alone. That's not a good thing. Some people want to be friends with the world. James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." We have to be very careful that we're not friends with this world, because certainly the world will blunten us. You notice here, it's iron sharpeneth iron, nothing else. God's people who are iron, God's people who are made to be strong in the Lord. And so friendship, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's a very important subject, the subject of friendships. It's not good for a man to be alone. We think of when God made Adam in the garden, and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. God has not made man to be in solitude. Now, of course, marriage is not for everyone, but certainly friendship ought to be. And certainly if we say that we're Christians, we ought not to forsake the gathering of the saints. It's important that we have friends, especially Christian friends. Those are our companions. We are not, if we're saved, we're not to be companions with the world. Evil company corrupts good manners. And having another is a good thing. That's certainly emphasized in the book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 4, the verse 9, where Solomon writes, "Two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So it's not good for man to be alone, but it's very good that there is one of like mind to help us. And this is essential for the Christian life, especially in terms of spiritual things. Isolation from the people of God is a very bad thing. But it's, again, I say, it's important that we draw near to God's people. And it's very important who we choose to be our spouse in this life. If we are the Lord's people, we marry only in the Lord. We are also then to just seek the Lord's approval in marriage. Some people marry, they marry an unbeliever, and they live a miserable life as a result. Not thinking, not seeking the Lord's approval, not seeking him for guidance. And it's no wonder that they are dull, that they dull to the things of God. They dull to the preaching of God's word. And if they've done that, my counsel to them is to repent to God and to ask him for grace. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for grace. Ask him for help. And then seek to walk closely with God and with the godliest people that you know, spiritual friends. Those are the ones to have, not friends of the world. That's what the Bible is constantly telling us. But again, having friends, coming back to Proverbs 18:24, how does a man get friends? Well, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What does that mean? Must show himself friendly. Well, it means you have to go out of your way to be friendly, doesn't it? It means that you have to show kindness to others. It means that you have to take an interest in other people's lives. You cannot just expect people all the time to draw near to you. You've got to take an interest in other people. It means that you go out of your way to overcome your apprehensions, your shyness, because you see your need, especially not only to help others, but a need of a friend, of a godly friend. You see, this verse is encouraging us. The Holy Spirit has given this verse. And the Holy Spirit is telling us that iron, God's people, sharpeneth iron. There's a great need, of course, to read the Word of God every day. There's a great need to pray to God every day. But another aspect of the Christian life is fellowship, and to sharpen brethren, to be a blessing to them. That's all part of the Christian life. And so this being friendly, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. It means that you have to become, or you have to seek to become someone that is kind, thoughtful, interested in other people's lives, and you make the effort to be friendly. You know, some people just want to be alone. That's not a good thing. We are not to be as a sparrow sitting on the roof and totally separated from other people. That seems to be how other people want to be. And that's no way to be at all. It's a very dangerous thing. Now, another reason we should be friendly is because that's how God is. He is described as the friend of Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ is described as the friend of sinners. And if that's the characteristic of God, should that not be the characteristic of his people? It would be uncharacteristic of God's people if they were not friendly. So a Christian ought to be approachable, just as God is. He is a God at hand. We can always call upon him. And we ought to be like that with other people. Dependable, approachable. And that's a good thing. And we ought to be with God's people much and often. We read in the Song of Solomon how the believer looks upon Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And then she says, he feedeth among the lilies. That is where Christ is to be found, amongst God's people, feeding. We are not to be lone sparrows. We are not to be alone and isolated from other Christians. No. At this time, there's lots of things we can do to cultivate friendliness. We can pick up the phone. Even if somebody's far away, we can write them a letter, write them an email, do something. That's how God's people are. They are always together. Remember there in the upper room, when the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended up into heaven, and there they were at Pentecost, they were gathering together, praying. And daily God's people, they met together, breaking bread. That was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They met together. And that's how it's to be. Remember the disciples, after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and he rose on the third day. There they were, afraid of the Jews, but they were there together in that room, meeting together. That's how God's people are to be. It's not good to be alone. It's very important, particularly at this time, particularly at times of trial. We read in Isaiah 60 in the verse 8 how God speaks of his people, how they fly as a cloud together. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves fly to their windows? That's what God's people are. You've sometimes seen the birds in the sky, and they move together as a cloud. Sometimes it looks like one big bird, doesn't it, when the sparrows fly together. Well, that's how God's people are to be, as a cloud, together. That's only right. So important that we do as Christians. We stick together. And then in Proverbs, because of difficult times, how much more do we need friends now? Christian friends. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times, even in the hard times, even in the difficult times. We're talking here about Christian people, friends. We're not talking about people of the world. Remember what John says. He that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We're talking here about God's people. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, that is, times of trouble. Nevermore do we need Christian friends than now. Nevermore do Christian people need each other. The person that chooses to shut themselves off is in great danger. Great danger. Vulnerable to all kinds of spiritual dangers. It's a travesty, isn't it? To hear, and one of my great concerns pastorally is particularly those who shut themselves off from Christians at this time. We ought not to do that. We ought to be rather like Ruth. Remember how Ruth was there, and we think of the contrast between her and Orpah and Naomi, the mother-in-law. We read how in Ruth chapter 1, the verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And that's how it ought to be for God's people. We ought to cleave to the brethren. And Naomi was a great comfort to her, and she was a great comfort to Naomi. How important Christian friendships are. But I say, our fellowship is in the Lord. If we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in common, can two walk together except we be agreed? Can iron sharpen iron except we are made iron in the Lord? No, we can't. And so maybe it begs the question, if we distance ourselves from Christians, are we Christians at all? It's a great question, isn't it? There's a great need for friends. There was that time when David was very low and Saul was after him, and Jonathan went out to meet him in the field. And we read these words in 1 Samuel 23 in the verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood. And we have these lovely words, and strengthened his hand in God. It says it were, he put his hand in God's hand. He strengthened his hand in God. And that's what a real friend does. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Then thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. One wonders what would have become of David had Jonathan not gone out to meet him. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. And David was to be the next king, and he was the next king. Friends, eternity will reveal what we have done for the Lord's people. Think of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he is dividing the sheep from the goats. He said, whatever ye did for the least of these, ye did it for me. How important friendship is. How important it is to strengthen each other's hand in the Lord. Not a lot is said about friendships. The real friendships are the ones that the Lord gives us. The Apostle John, he writes in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. We wouldn't love them otherwise, would we? We'd have no affection for God's people. Do we have a desire to draw near to God's people? Or are we happy to live at an arm's length from them and to be at a distance? Maybe present circumstances have estranged people. But what are we doing to draw near and to strengthen each other? What are we doing? Does it bother us? Are we content to be far away, at a distance? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Friends, there's a tremendous benefit of fellowship in the saints, isn't there? Fellowship in the Lord and with his people. And the first benefit is this, that the Lord Jesus has said, "Lo, am I there in the midst, where two or three are gathered in my name. Lo, am I there in the midst," just two people. The Lord is there in the midst. That's, first of all, the first benefit, isn't it? And of course, I'm emphasizing this again and again, it must be the Lord's people. These are our friends. It doesn't say, notice the Holy Spirit doesn't say, "Stone sharpeneth iron, flint sharpeneth iron," although he could have said that. But he says, "Iron sharpeneth iron," meaning man. But there's also a warning to that. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's what you're to do as a Christian. You're not to break down. You're not to blunten. There's a warning. If we cause any to stumble, woe to us. Are we sharpening iron? How do we spend our time with our brethren? By our words, we're told by the Lord Jesus, we shall be either justified or condemned. We are our brother's keeper. So there's a warning as well as an encouragement. But there's to be this sharpening, you see. That's the work of the Christian. That is to be our duty. We must see this as our duty. When you get together with Christians, what do you talk about? I'm amazed some people say they're Christians, but I never hear them talking about the Lord. Never. We talk about everything else but the Lord. What a discouragement that is. You know, when we meet others, we're now moving to the contrast between being blunt and sharp. I'm going to be blunt with you this evening. We need to be straight about things. When we meet together, sometimes we need to give a word of encouragement. That's what David needed from Jonathan, didn't he? But, you know, if we need to say something that needs to be said, some perhaps word of reproof, it needs to be said. If you just turn to Proverbs 25 in the verse 23, you'll see what I mean there. Proverbs 25 and the verse 23. "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue." Here's the picture. Just like a north wind drives away rain, so does an angry countenance drive away a backbiting tongue. You imagine somebody, he's perhaps even a believer, and he's backbiting somebody. He's talking about somebody behind their back. But you notice an angry countenance. You give somebody a look of disapproval when they are speaking unkindly, or they're not speaking words unto edification. Well, it drives away backbiting, because backbiting is a sin, isn't it? But you see, that's sharpening, isn't it? Sometimes by just a look. And that's all part of your fellowship. That's all part of iron sharpening iron. Sometimes that is needed in fellowship. That's why Christian fellowship is so vital. Getting together, being with God's people, forsaking not the gathering of God's people, encouraging each other. And sometimes that'll be very difficult. There'll be a need for a word of reproval. But faithful are the wounds even of a friend. You know, if they're real friends, they'll correct us when we're wrong. Don't we want to be corrected? But also, one of the benefits as we meet together and we're thinking here about sharpening is that where there are a number of people, there's great counsel as well. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." How blessed it is to be amongst the counsel of God's people. It's a blessing, isn't it? But where there's no counsel, you isolate yourself. The people fall. What folly. But in all things, what we do is for the Lord's sake, isn't it? Because we are, after all, the heritage of God. If we love the brethren, we're going to want what's best for them. And it might be a difficult word. Mostly it's going to be a word of encouragement. I think very seldom will we have to give a word of reproof. But it will be needful at times, no doubt. But remember the words that we say. The Lord Jesus said, "For every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof." What are our conversations like when we're with others? We are meant to sharpen iron. We are to make each other more spiritually aware of the Lord and the dangers of this world and the lies that this world is feeding. We're in a world, friends, that is constantly trying to blunten the Christian, trying to blunten the truth all the time. And it will have consequences. If we do not make friends with God's children, if we do not draw near, we're in great danger. Iron sharpeneth iron. But in the ultimate sense, if we've never done anything for God's people, or we have no interest in sharpening, if we're always blunt, as it were, and we're as blunt and as dull to God and spiritual things as this world, we'll hear those awful words, will we not? "Then shall he say to these, inasmuch as ye did not do it to the least of these my brethren, ye did not do it unto me. Depart. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's proof that Christ has died for us, that we're in the family of God, that we love the brethren, that we're concerned for God's people. We pray for them. And we ask them, "What can I pray for you? How can I help?" We take an interest in people's lives. Other than that, we're blunt, aren't we? And we want to live like the rest of the world. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and ever edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." You see, that's all part, isn't it, of sharpening iron. And that's not possible when you are, as it were, when you remove yourself from fellowship, when you do not have any interest in other people. And what will happen then? And that's when people start to sadly wane in their spiritual walk, and we say, what's become of them? They're not the person they used to be. And this can very easily happen to Christians when they distance themselves from fellowship and each other and church. We see they then start to drift into the ways and the thinking of the world. And that's a very sad and sorry state to be in, isn't it? And we certainly don't want to be there. Iron sharpeneth iron. Yes. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Are God's people our friends? If they are, we want to sharpen their countenance. We'll want to brighten their countenance. We'll want to help them. We don't want to see them down. We want to encourage them all the more as we see the day appearing, because Christ died for them and he died for us, that we should no longer live unto ourselves but live unto him. You know, it must have been very difficult at times to live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was so holy but so wonderful at the same time. I think a wonderful mix in the sense of the fear of God, because he is very God, but to be in his presence. But what a blessing to be in his presence. And that's how it ought to be when we are in the presence of God's people. There ought to be a sense of the fear of God, because God is in the midst, and we wouldn't want to offend the God of grace that has shown us such kindness and love and mercy. And we wouldn't want to cause any of his flock to stumble and to fall. Well, dear friends, let us take up this exhortation this evening. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We are living in times of great difficulty. And never more do I feel that the church needs to be strengthened, and the brethren need to strengthen each other. There are those words in the book of the Revelation, strengthen that which remaineth. And we are to be strong in the Lord. We are to encourage each other. We are to, the scriptures say, to build each other up. And we are to build each other up in our most holy faith, praying unto God, reading, praying together. How blessed are you when you pray with brethren? How have you been encouraged when you've been in the presence of believers? You come away from a church meeting, from a gathering. You went there and you were very low, you were very downcast, but you left away with your spirit being lifted again and encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. It is amazing, isn't it, how God has ordained that the church should be strengthened in this way. That we, being iron, thank the Lord, he has made us in Christ to be strong. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ who has made us to be iron. May we be strong. We pray that we might be, as Jeremiah, a pillar of iron in the church. Is that not what we need today? We need pillars of iron. We need people of conviction. We need people that will stand against the whim and the tide of today. There's so much being done to discourage the church. There's little being done to encourage the church in the way of faithfulness. Few stand today. Very few stand. May we be those pillars of iron, as Jeremiah. And may the Lord give us strength. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. But I would close with this. For us to be a friend to anybody, and for us to sharpen anybody, we have to know especially the friend of sinners, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one who gave his life for us, that we might be strong in the Lord, and that we might strengthen each other, even as Jonathan strengthened David's hand in the Lord. May we do this in these days. I feel there's a great need of that. We need to strengthen one another. May the Lord be with us. May the Lord be in our midst, even when two or three are gathered together in his name. May we be as iron sharpening iron, and thanking the Lord that we have the privilege and the duty to do so. And may we do so to the glory and to the praise of his holy name. Amen. Let us close in prayer. gracious Lord and Father, we do thank thee for thy word this evening, and we pray that thou would write it large upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to exhort our brethren, to encourage one another, to be that iron that sharpeneth iron, so as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be a hindrance. We pray that Christ would indeed be in our hearts, O Lord, that he would govern our thinking, that he would permeate our thoughts, that he would be in our midst, O Lord. We pray that we might bring every thought captive to Christ, and we might be as that pillar of iron, there as Jeremiah in the days of old. We thank thee for the pillars in thy church, and we pray that we might be a blessing and might receive an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We think of the Apostle Paul as he was left on his own, and as he declared all men had forsaken him, but yet Luke was still with him. We thank thee for those faithful friends that stick near us. We thank thee for those that encourage the household of faith. We thank thee now, Lord, for thy word, and we pray that we might do all to the great friend of sinners and for his sake, who loved us and gave himself for us. O Lord, bless us for thy name's sake. Draw near to the church and all thy people at this time. Prepare our hearts this coming Lord's Day to hear thy word. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.